SharePoint-Podcast, Ausgabe 281 vom 22.10.2013. SharePoint-Podcast. Das auditive Update für den engagierten SharePoint-Anwender. Themen, Trends, Tipps, Tricks, Talk. Am Mikrofon Michael Greth. Ja, zuverlässig wie fast jede Woche. Hier ist die 281. Ausgabe des SharePoint Podcast und ich kann euch einen neuen Rekord ankündigen. Dies wird die längste Podcast-Episode von allen bisherigen 281 Podcasts werden. Ich habe euch wieder mal einen längeren Vortragsmitschnitt mitgebracht. Diesmal ist das Thema Managing Governance Across the Social Landscape. Der Referent ist Christian Buckley. Er war letzte Woche auf den Usergroup-Treffen in Stuttgart und in Berlin. Und in Berlin habe ich den Vortrag mitgeschnitten. Und ihr könnt ihn euch heute hier anhören. Wenn ihr wollt, könnt ihr euch auch das Ganze als Video anschauen. Denn dieser Vortrag ist auch mit Video angesehen. Den Link dazu bzw. Video könnt ihr auf den Shownotes-Seiten auf sharepointpodcast.de sehen. Da findet ihr übrigens auch den Link zu den Folien, die der Chris auf Slideshare gestellt hat. Bevor es jetzt aber losgeht, zweimal Housekeeping. Erstens, die Verlosung des Buches Microsoft SharePoint 2013 für Anwender. Diese Verlosung ist geschehen und ich habe den Lars und den Oliver ausgelost. Beide bekommen von mir, wie gesagt, eine E-Mail und dann auch das Buch zugeschickt. So, und das Zweite, dann möchte ich gerne darauf hinweisen, dass wir noch eine Verlosungsaktion zu laufen haben. Und zwar für die SharePoint und SQL Server und SharePoint Connect Workshops vom 10. bis 11.3. nächsten Jahres in München. Dort verlosen wir, wie gesagt, eine Freikarte für diese Workshops. Da könnt ihr euch einen Workshop aussuchen. Und ich glaube, die Themen werden gerade aktualisiert. Bis zum Ende des Monats könnt ihr daran teilnehmen und ganz einfach eine E-Mail an sharepointpodcast@outlook.de schicken. Und Stichwort ist Workshop und dann könnt ihr da an der Verlosung teilnehmen. Es sind schon einige Einsendungen eingegangen, aber wie gesagt, 10 Tage läuft das Ganze noch. So, ja, und damit sind wir eigentlich, und das Zweite, was ich euch sagen möchte, eigentlich heute am 22. wollte ich einen Webcast machen, ich habe es letzte Mal angekündigt, zum Thema SharePoint Wiki. Wie ihr seht, ist es, vielleicht habt ihr gemerkt, ist dieser Webcast um eine Woche verschoben worden und deshalb läuft er am 29.10. um 14 Uhr, den Link dazu auf sharepointpodcast.de, wo ihr euch anmelden könnt. Das Thema Wikis in SharePoint, was kann man mit Wikis machen? Wie kann man sie einsetzen, was sind die Grundfunktionen und wie kann man sie mit den Erweiterungen Wiki Plus von Quizcom zu einem Enterprise-Wiki ausbauen. Ich hoffe, das wird sehr interessant. Ich habe vorher schon eine kleine Diskussion angestoßen. Da sind schon mal ganz interessante Anregungen gekommen und würde mich freuen, wenn ihr mit dabei seid am 29.10. um 14 Uhr. Link sharepointpodcast.de. Feedback immer an sharepointpodcast@outlook.de und jetzt mache ich mich hier schon mal vom Acker und wünsche euch interessante 80 Minuten mit Chris Buckley und Managing Governance Across the Social Landscape.
Thank you for... Well, thanks everybody for coming. These are if you follow me at all online, see the things that I write about. They're interesting topics to talk about governance across. Tonight, I'm going to talk about social and also about some of the cloud issues around governance. It's not like that there is an answer. It's not like there is a specific solution in place. It's an ongoing conversation that. So I work for an ISV. We create software that solves certain holes within the SharePoint space around governance, around permissions, around auditing and reporting and things like that. We do migration tools. There are a lot of vendors that do these types of solutions. But governance as a topic is something that is little more fuzzy. It's not something that you can clearly define, said these five things, they are governance. It'll be different based on your organization. It'll be different based on the industry that you work in, your requirements. And so what I like about these topics is that while even though I did these two same sessions in Stuttgart Tuesday night, it could be very different based on your input, based on your questions. So feel free to, if you have questions, if you want to share some of your experiences within these items, then please just jump in or ask a question. What I'm going to talk about here around social specifically is I'm going to give some insight into how people are using social tools. What I did in Stuttgart, I'm going to do again tonight, is something I haven't done in the past, but I'm going to give you a little insight into my world of how I start my day. So the tools that I actually use in and outside of the Microsoft stack, the Microsoft world. Just to give you, I think, maybe a more extreme example of how some of the social tools are being used, but it may not be too far off from what many of you do and what a lot of your people within your organizations are doing today. So I'll talk about how people are using them. I'll talk a little bit about where SharePoint and Microsoft are going. I know we have Microsoft here in the facilities. My office is actually located on Microsoft campus in Redmond, Washington. So I'm a badged partner. So I am often over with the product team and interacting with marketing and development, and also spend a lot of time with Microsoft IT. If anybody is familiar with the name Caruana Gatimu, Caruana is now the Senior Director of Collaboration Success. What that means is she's responsible for the successful upgrade of every internal Microsoft SharePoint environment into Office 365 and everything in between in the hybrid environments that they're maintaining internally, as well as Yammer deployments. So she is working very closely with the community. She's somebody that I knew outside of Microsoft before going to Microsoft. She and I started one of the SharePoint Saturday events together, the one in Los Angeles. And so having someone that I know personally who is measured on the success of SharePoint and social inside of Microsoft is a fantastic way to see the difference between Microsoft, what their marketing is, and what even they're experiencing internally, and to have conversations about those things. So I can share some of my insight there. Now, I'm also a SharePoint MVP, and there are certain things that I, some privileged information that I have, and I'll try to be very careful about that as well, what I can talk about. I think it's not even, having the MVP status, being physically located on campus and having developed personal relationships with several Microsoft people is probably of more value than a certification to me or the MVP status. So I'll talk a little bit about how social is impacting your business and then talk specifically about, hold on a second. Sorry, there's a bunch of things that are going on, which I'll talk about in a second, which way they keep trying to get my attention. And then talk about how it impacts your business and things you need to think about around governance. Now, a little bit about, as Michael said, for those that aren't familiar with my background or some of the vendors that are out in the space. So I left Microsoft in summer of 2009 and went to a little company that built migration software called Echo Technology. I don't know if anybody knew Echo, was familiar with that company. All right. Anyway, not a huge company, but we were acquired by Accelar 3.5 years ago. So 3 years later, Accelar, 6 weeks ago, Accelar was acquired by Metalogix. And I commented to somebody, it's like, a year ago, we were looking at acquiring Metalogix. A year later, Metalogix bought us. But it's all good. So Metalogix is now the fastest growing SharePoint ISV. I believe because we're talking about private companies, we don't know all of the numbers. But based on what has been shared publicly, we believe we are the second largest, only behind Nintex, in revenue for SharePoint ISVs. And that by next year, however, we'll surpass them and be the first SharePoint ISV to reach $100 million in revenue. So we're growing very quickly and finding a lot of success, and it's very exciting to be part of that. Part of the transition, though, and that's what I'm going to get into, it's been interesting to come in to see the change in culture. For those that aren't familiar with Acceler, Acceler was a very social company. I think just the culture of the organization, just about everybody was on Twitter. We used Yammer heavily. We used the social features in SharePoint heavily. We were constantly exploring different tools and solutions that were out there. In fact, there were four primary collaboration platforms which we used internally. SharePoint, which was kind of our document, system of record. Yammer, we had partnered with Yammer prior to their acquisition by Microsoft, and we're developing a tool for that. And I'll share a little bit of that information in a few minutes. So Yammer, and then we also are Salesforce users. And so, unfortunately, for those that are on the Dynamics side, Echo Technology was pure Dynamics. They bought us. We had a very robust CRM platform. They threw it away and went with Salesforce. But Salesforce, and so the salespeople use Chatter extensively, and then have some automation that's built there. And then they also, the engineering team, use Jira. So you have four platforms, four different use cases, sets of use cases, four different primary types of users. And you think, how do people make it work? Well, it did just work. When we deployed Yammer and started using Yammer, there was some confusion of where does the conversation happen in SharePoint? Where does it happen in Yammer? How do we make the two work together? And what we found is that just different use cases and scenarios fit within each of those different platforms. And the community said, well, if somebody was having a conversation around a sensitive document, they would say, you know what? This needs to be in a private group, or it needs to be over and have the conversation in a permission trimmed location over inside of SharePoint. Or sometimes a conversation would happen in SharePoint, or more likely it would happen in email, and somebody would say, stop doing this, put it in Yammer where everyone can see it. And that, because we, you know, you see those email threads where you add two people, then the next person who replies adds three or four more people. Pretty much you have half the company in the email thread. It's time just to put it in Yammer and let everybody see it and talk about it. So we made those adjustments. Now, I also wrote a book. I'm not going to talk about that. Anybody happen to go to the SharePoint Saturday in the UK last year? So there's an interesting exercise. Ant Clay, if anybody's familiar with Ant, wrote a book on governance. His Twitter is Soul Sailor. He did a great experiment where on the wall in the main hallway leading back to the exhibit hall, he put up white chart paper, just covered the wall in paper. And then he asked everyone to go and draw a little picture, a profile picture of themselves, and then draw lines connecting themselves to everyone that they knew. And to come back throughout the day, and if you see new people that you know that are connected, draw lines to them. And then dotted lines for people that you have met virtually but never met in person. And so over the course of the day, and I figured, I was visiting from the US, I'm based out of Seattle, I put myself way off to the side. And what I saw is that very quickly, I mean, I know most of the speakers there is other, the attendees came in, of how thick the lines got to be over in this area. And there were certain, you could just see this visually, similar to this model, that there were certain people that were really hubs of the network. And so you have here, it's funny that this example that Aunt Clay had sent me, and I used this for a blog post a while back. Seb Matthews, I think, was, if anybody knows who Seb Matthews is, in the UK, he was the most connected man at this event. He just seemed to have the thickest lines where everybody knew Seb. And if you don't know Seb, he is a hilarious person. He very witty, very intelligent, very smart man. But what I thought I'd do by showing this is giving you insight into kind of my day, how I start things, because people ask, when you talk about social, it's one thing to go and demo, here's what the tools do, here's what the technology is. Everybody wants to know, what are you actually doing with these platforms? How are you really using them? That kind of day in the life. Like, it's funny, my sales engineers, like if you call Metalogix and want to see a demo of a product, you'll be connected with one of our solution engineers, sales engineers, who will show you this perfect example. You know, here are these examples of how you use all the features. And it's like Excel. How many features or what percentage of features in Microsoft Excel do you actually use? Very small percentage of the features. It does a lot more. That's kind of what social is. It's like what SharePoint is. It's part of a problem. Part of the problem why social is growing so rapidly as a category is because while SharePoint does so much, how many people just use it as an expensive file share? They do the basic capabilities. Then they complain it can't do the things. And most of us know that whether you're a consultant or you're a power user or developer, that just with a little fine tuning, some customization, SharePoint can likely do everything that those customers think that it can't do today. And most of the issues are just education. But there's a, we had a great conversation here in the last hour. We were talking about, Michael's was showing me some of his Kanban-based product features. That how much that you have to ask people to go outside of their daily tasks, if it's out of the norm, if it's a cultural change, if it's a process change, then people find a difficult time adapting to that and adding new tools and capabilities. So the closer you can align new features to how people work today, then the more likely they are to come on board. And then you slowly add new features and capabilities. But let me show you how my day starts. Now, like everybody, I typically go to, I'm based in Seattle, it's a satellite office. There's only three of us that are out in the Seattle area. We have 12 offices globally, about 250 employees. But I'll go to email first and find the people that are 3 hours ahead. Our main office is in DC. The number two office, the old Acceler headquarters, is in the Boston area. But I interact a lot with my Australia team, with my London team, occasionally with India or Bratislava. So different development teams where they are. And so email, I'll go in and check that first. But what I'm finding is I'm doing that less and less. I go in the morning. It's a wonderful morning when you go in the morning and there's only like four or five emails. Isn't that a great thing? And you can actually like get started. But what I'll do is I'll go in, open up the browser, you'll notice right away, yes, I'm using Chrome. There's some issues for that. I won't go into all the details, but unfortunately, IE has been an inconsistent platform on this laptop, and it's my IT team's fault, and I've just a relatively new laptop, and it just constantly crashes. But anyway, but there is another reason why. Is anybody else, and you can admit this, anybody else a Chrome user? There is a fantastic tool if you use Yammer in Chrome that is only available in Chrome, and I'll come back to it, which is this little tab right here. It's funny, this Yammer extension was released post-acquisition by Microsoft, and next on their release cycle is an extension for Firefox, and then IE will eventually come. But is there anyone who is not using Twitter? Everyone's using Twitter. Or wait, one, you're not using it? You're not using Twitter at all? Is that a conscious decision? I refuse to use Twitter? Let me show you I thought Twitter was a useless piece of technology. I just like, what a waste of time. However, it's now replaced my RSS feeds for where I get a lot of my information. I still gather information from a number of different places. But you can see, where I found it was useful was when I discovered TweetDeck and Hootsuite. And when Twitter went and bought TweetDeck, and as tends to happen, a big company swallows up a little innovative company. They broke it, and it's useless to me now, so I use Hootsuite. But you can see right here, here's my primary feed. Well, I'll go in and so I follow, I think about, well, let's see. I'm not sure as of today. So I follow almost 8,000 and followed by 9,200 people. So that feed of all of that information of those, you know, 8,000 people, I deleted that, removed that column. Useless. Too much information from those people just that are flying by. Even this SharePoint stream is pretty useless. I'll glance at it occasionally, but I won't pay attention to that. However, anyone talks about Medalogix or Acceler, the old brand, will pop up. I'll pay attention to that. Anyone that mentions me, then I'll follow that. Then, of course, direct messages. I'll schedule tweets if we have an event that's coming up. And I don't want to have to constantly be in there and think about, oh, I need to do another tweet out to a link to the webinar for my team. When I know that it's scheduled, I'll go in and schedule at different times tweets to go out about that event and then forget about it. And just, so it's a great marketing tool. But as far as research capability, so I'll go in different events that I participate in. So like I was speaking in Madrid last week at the Iberian SharePoint conference. So I had a thread, was watching. These actually are IAMCP. Anybody familiar with IAMCP? It's the International Association of Microsoft Channel Partners. So if you are a partner in the Microsoft channel, you need to go join this organization. So I'm the president of the Seattle chapter. And it's about peer-to-peer networking. So if you go to iamcp.org, then you get information there. And just so you know, the cost of membership per person is like $100, $125 a year. So it's not a big cost and instantly puts you in a network of about 5,000, 6,000 global folks. It's a great way to identify new partners. And we have sold software. We have done deals before, and I'll tell you what, that the acquisition by Medalogix, part of what made Acceler and Medalogix come together was the relationship that I developed with their alliance manager through our local chapter. Because we had products that they didn't do, they had products we didn't do, we competed fiercely on our migration products, but we found that we started sharing leads and doing referrals for the products that neither of us overlapped on. And we did more and more of these deals and it started the conversation between the two CEOs. And that was 2 years ago because of IAMCP. But I monitor, you know, the activity that's happening here. There's other like tweet jams that happen where you're familiar with the model. So I actually run a monthly tweet jam collab talk. So Michael participated in the last one and is unavailable for the next one. That's too bad. It's going to be awesome. There's 8 SharePoint MVPs and a dozen other folks where for 1 hour, we're going to be talking about, I don't know what time it is in the afternoon here, like 3, is it, how, what time?
Six in the evening.
Oh, it's 6 p.m. in the evening. But for an hour, you're going to have 8 MVPs talking about SharePoint migration, about the planning, the things to watch out for. No talk about product. There's going to be 4 competitors that will be involved, but we've agreed, no talking product. It's only about SharePoint and activities. But all of that is Twitter-based that enables all of that. I'll then go in and I know I'm spending a lot of time talking about Twitter here. I'll move off this very quickly, but go in like emerging technology and themes, specific analysts that I will watch and pay attention to. And this gives me more, you know, more insight, deeper insight into topics that are relevant to me in the SharePoint world that they may be using language talking about knowledge management that may never show up in a feed around SharePoint, may never show up in a community discussion, but is relevant to the SharePoint world. So this is my Twitter experience. So looking across the top, of course, I've got like the blog and other things that are going on. I'm also a big fan of Trello. Trello is a Kanban tool, so it's a free tool that's out there. I only use this for brainstorming and management of with my PR company around content that I'm working on. So literally, I just go in there and said, here's ideas for topics that my PR company or my marketing team says, we'd love it, Christian, if you would go and write an article about this. And they'll even put in there, like, write this one for CMS Wire, maybe this one for the Scribble blog, or this one for your own blog. And so as I review those and I look at what else that I have kind of to do that I've agreed to do, I might say, like, well, this one, you know what, I'm now working on, so I'll drag it and drop it off over here. It allows me to kind of go in there. I can, you know, I can assign people to work on it. There's some great capability that's around this. And that's actually what I was working with, talking with Michael's company about, because they've actually developed a solution that's inside, built into, integrated into SharePoint to do Kanban. And it's something that, you know, I'm personally very interested in seeing successfully deployed out there, because I use it in my, you know, the way that I write content and organize. Now, what I want to show you here, so I'll also go in things like SlideShare and various tools. But then I also go in, I want to show you. So this is my going into Medalogic's coming on board. They had done a huge upgrade. Of course, we have the software. They made the software, so they upgraded the portal 2013 last summer. And this is actually, is walking into it and looking around content. There's some problems with search on the portal. I've already let the team know. But there's just not a lot of activity going. I said, are people not doing anything inside of SharePoint Social? Well, actually, when you go in and start looking at it, now this is all trending on time, the amount of time. So after a few days, it kind of falls off of that feed. However, there is heavy usage. There are terabytes of data, that just internal data that are available out in SharePoint. And it's all out within these different team sites and areas. So they are very granular in the tracking of roadmap information, of project documents. And so if you go into each one of these things, you'll start to see these threaded discussions in great detail around it, especially, and we also use the community sites template, which I can't show you, because like we have a competitor portal using and it, right up on the top, it has battle card competitive information, so I can't show you that screen. It is, you know, so that is, you know, heavily used. Now, the other thing that I do on a daily basis, I have open all day long, is Yammer. So I went and added myself to the Yammer environment, and the last update that I saw from anybody in the primary newsfeed was from August 2012. So not a single user had made a comment, anything out in the open on Yammer at Medalogic, until suddenly they acquire Acceler, and 75 employees, I think within 3 days, almost all 75 of us added ourselves to the portal, and we started sharing information about trying to adjust to this new company culture and working together. And so what's great is, this is one of those things where, as the evangelist and what I am responsible for, part of what I do for the company is about the brand. I have kind of a slogan, which is defend the brand. And so part of that is, from a community standpoint, I'm not a salesperson. I don't have a number attached to me. My job is to go out there in community relations, but also is to help the company to figure out how best to talk to customers and partners in the community as a whole. And one of those things is that we need to be sharing information more. Some organizations, they can do this entirely through SharePoint. They don't have to use Yammer for this. I'm one of those people that, like, Microsoft doesn't entirely like some of the things that I say about the fact that you can do a lot of the things that you need and be social without Yammer. I love Yammer. I use it every day. However, I know that there are some regions, there are some companies, there are some industries where there is concern about putting any kind of data out in the cloud. I'm not going to get into that. There are valid reasons on both sides. And so that's just something that the industry that we're in, we need to come to terms with the fact over time that eventually systems and tools will be delivered primarily through the cloud and through these kind of social capabilities. So I think companies, I do believe that eventually everything that we're doing today on premises will be cloud-based. What I don't do is put a date on that, when that'll happen. I had a fun conversation with Jared Spataro, who's the general manager in charge of SharePoint, Office 365, Yammer, Visio, and also owns marketing for China. Anyway, Jared, so I know Jared pretty well, but my former CEO and I went and met with him at the Worldwide Partner Conference in Toronto last year. And one of his direct reports is Tejas Mehta. Some of you may know Tejas as well. But sitting there, and I asked the question, I said, when do you think the majority of enterprises will have their production systems primarily in the cloud? And he said, 2 to 3 years. And I said, I kind of turned to look at my CEO, and I said, we think it's more like 7 to 10 years. And Tejas and Jared both laughed. They said, nah, it'll be much faster than anything that you're thinking of. A year later, Microsoft's official statement around there is much more realistic. And the benefit of that, and this kind of gets into both the social and the cloud topic after this, is that there's just, Microsoft has come to terms with the realities of what they're, the feedback from the community, what the analysts are telling them, and then there's the reality of what the sales are and what's happening with the platforms. However, having said all that, the growth of Yammer is exponential. It's a powerful platform. I believe it's not a replacement of the things that you're doing in SharePoint, the way that I look at it. It's a different use case, but it's something that I use regularly. So here are the various networks that I'm a member of. So of course the Metalogix network, where you can go in and there's I have my evangelism group where I'm just sharing like the content that I publish and various conversations that are happening. We did the first thing that Metalogix had ever done. We had this 2-day offsite sales summit. 120, 130 salespeople sitting in this giant room in Washington, D.C. It was the first time the Accelerator and Metalogix, everybody came together. I started this group and said, any conversations about the sales summit, questions that you have, sharing of presentations, sharing of whatever the material that's being discussed, do it in Yammer so we don't walk out of this meeting with a bunch of handwritten notes. It's all captured and around this hashtag. And so people started doing that. In fact, we had some people that were sitting listening into the conversation from our 11 other global offices, and we'd get to the end of a presentation, and inevitably there would be a question or comment from somebody online that we would then read out loud and add to that discussion. But all of these conversations are tracked or are kept within this. Some of the other communities, I mean, I've gone and I created one with this Metalogix Fin with our PR company. So it's an external partner relationship. They will never have access to our SharePoint environment, but I've created this very quick and easy collaboration environment using Yammer for it. Microsoft has a number of sponsored that are open networks for partners. One of them that was fantastic during WPC was the Microsoft Office division at WPC. So this is a site where there's still a lot of activity that's going on. They want to make this a place where partners go year-round and find information, where they're making announcements about different events, about free webinars, different tools that are available that are out there, and people are connecting and following up on topics that came out of the partner conference. And this is something that anyone could go and do, just sign up for a free Yammer account, and then just go and you find this like MOD at WPC, request access, and they'll give it to you within a day. Similarly, there's the one that, people, is there anybody who is not using Yammer today? One reason to consider going and signing up for Yammer is very simple, is right here, is the SP Yam community. There's about 4,000 to 4,500 members somewhere right in there. And this is a place where if you do nothing else in Yammer, sign up for the SP Yam. Because if you have a question, if you want to do research on, I'm experiencing this error message, this problem, it's cataloged. And if it's not in here, then if you ask the question, post it, within minutes, someone from somewhere in the world will be on there pointing you to someone who might know the answer or have the answer. It is a fantastic resource. It has displaced, most of the use of this is displaced. I don't have the specific numbers because Microsoft hasn't shared it, but they've seen a downturn in the use of a lot of the other community, the threaded conversations, the discussion forums, because of this. Not just this, but there's other Yammer sites, but this is certainly the biggest one that's out there. So why am I sharing, you know, these different tools? Just to show you, like Yammer's open all day long. I have it at home. I have two large monitors, my laptop in the center. At the office, I have the three monitor set up. And I have my SharePoint portal and Yammer opened up all day long so I can monitor these things. Now, my job as an evangelist is a lot of times to be, it's the timeliness of the messaging as much as the content or the context of the message. So I'm constantly reviewing and answering questions. I'm kind of an on-call resource for my engineering team, the product management team, and for the salespeople. So I have these tools open so that I can stay connected. And as a remote worker, it's fantastic to have the level of visibility and stay connected with my organization. And as I said, you know, email has reduced greatly. You know, the volume has gone down because the conversations are happening out in a place where the content that we're sharing is being stored and we can then iterate on that content, and it's not just lost out to a conversation thread. Now, having said all that, let's come back to the governance issue. So this, I think this is, that may be extreme, but there's a certain amount of reality to what people within your organization are experiencing. People are looking for ways to be more productive. They are looking for ways to better connect, better communicate with each other, with their customers, with their partners. And one of the issues that a lot of organizations aren't looking closely at necessarily is the governance aspect of that. Now, governance, the way that I define it, I try to be very broad in this because, again, it could be very different based on your organization and requirements. For those that were at the European SharePoint Conference in Copenhagen, Dan Holm and I did a session at one of the keynotes, and we talked about, we had a presentation together. If some of you were there, probably remember the one where it said, SharePoint's not important. Anybody remember that, see that one? And on the other side, it was a big red box, SharePoint's not important. The business matters. And it really is, the story for governance is about you have what your system is today. A set of technologies that may integrate well together, they may not. It's a bunch of tools, a bunch of with finite problems. You then have this vision of what you want your system to be. And the system, again, will be technology, tools, the people, all those things. Governance is what helps you get from what you have today to what your vision is of tomorrow. So sometimes you may have two different systems that can't talk to each other. And so part of the governance is that there needs to be a manual process. There needs to be reports generated out of both of them, and then a human needs to look at those reports, make sense of the data, and then tell the rest of the company, here's how these two systems coexist. That is part of what governance is. It is something that it's about organizing, optimizing, and managing. The other slide here, I don't like the breakdown there, but it's that it is a, it's never static, it constantly changing, evolving, based on your end user needs, based on your requirements, based on your customers. It's something that you don't go out and deploy once, say that we are now compliant. If you did that, if you were trying to, like, for example, I had a customer that was, they hired me to help make sure that they were compliant with the credit bureau, credit card bureaus, to make sure that they weren't violating any standards, so that they can maintain their relationships and be able to accept payments via these credit card companies. And I went in and found a number of violations, and I had to then report those violations, but then worked with the company to resolve these. Do you think that that job stops? I went in and looked once, you've got a clean bill of health, it goes away, and they're always compliant. Of course not. Stuff happens, you need to regularly be in reviewing those systems. The same thing with your governance. So the system's constantly changing. People get creative with trying to build solutions and do things to get their work done, which could violate different policies. Social is one of those things, which is largely outside of the models that we have created for governing SharePoint. And so if you have standards for permissions management, for how, you know, you might have very secure areas and you who has access to these areas, might be something that you regularly audit, that you report on, that you can intercept or monitor activity and course correct. You know, if you identify that somebody is doing something that they shouldn't be doing, identify that, go and talk to them, retrain them, fix that situation. One of the things that scares CIOs about social activities is that there's not that degree of governance and management. If you talk to somebody from Yammer, love their leadership in the organization, but they view it social as this flat activity. And it's fantastic what they've been able to do. And in the right scenarios, it is just a powerful technology. However, if you are in a regulated industry, if you have no visibility into the fact that people are talking about sharing documents that are out of a secure area, your reaction would be to what? Lock it down, turn it off, not allow that kind of communication. Kind of run through this. I mean, you know, the things that we've seen, the reasons for needing governance within SharePoint is because it's so powerful. It can do so many different things. There's this great white paper. And by the way, both of these presentations are available out on SlideShare. I'm actually going to have a blog post on the two events this week, which I'll post later tonight as well. So you can download and get access to these two presentations. But I highly recommend you take a look at this white paper that was written by Chris Beckett. And if you don't know Chris, he's a SharePoint certified master. Well, that I know that program's gone, so he's one of the last. You know, he's one of the only MCMs. That program is now gone. But talked about how the issue is all of these different moving pieces. It's about reducing risk and optimizing resource utilization. That's the reasons for moving to cloud. It's fantastic. We want to go that way. However, if you're going to do that, you need to constantly be looking at and answering the questions of what are the risks? Where is security? What's happening with permissions? What does our reporting look like? What is our management oversight of these different pieces? What do we need to do? And if we can't do those things, what is our response? Do we say no? Do we turn it off? So with the shift towards the cloud, there's been a number of changes to SharePoint. I'm not going to get into these in great detail. We're more than a year, we're only a year and a half into this, so most of you should be aware of these things. But with SharePoint 2013, the web content management was a huge piece of this, the new capability. Where 2010 was all about enterprise content management, 2013 was really about external facing. It was about social collaboration and external websites, extranets, and public facing websites, and making it easier to share content across these environments. You also had the integration with Office. There's other features and things within this, but the thing that you need to understand here is that the SharePoint team was given a charter of going and making the experience inside of SharePoint more consistent with the experience in Microsoft Office. Because in 2010, how painful it was to edit a list or a library, you know, going into that context menu, which opened up this the window, the menu on the side, and making your edits to that. It was nothing like the rest of the Microsoft experience. You also had the search integration. This was something that was a long time coming. I was at Microsoft, part of the team, when the FAST acquisition happened. And as I went out and tried to, so I was part of the team, it was called Microsoft Managed Services, which then became BPOS, which is now is the dedicated side of Office 365. It was the team which was chartered with creating the hosted version of SharePoint, which is now SharePoint Online. And as I went out, there was only, when I started, there was one customer, Energizer. And I had customer number two, XL Capital. And the as I go out, literally on my first week on the job, out to the customer site, one of the first questions I got was like, why do we have to pay extra for search? Search should just work. And so many of the features now in 2013 are driven through the fast search integration. It really is any knowledge management platform, search is essential to that. But it also powers most of the most exciting features in the 2013 platform. You then have the social features, and I'll get into that a little bit more. But the one that was the biggest change was the announcements around online first and what this actually means. And this is the thing that has impacted from a social perspective, certainly the ISVs the most. Any of the Microsoft partners, whether you're a consulting company or you're a product company working with Microsoft, trying to have better insight into what's happening and when, just got more difficult. And going back to IAMCP, being based in Seattle and running this partner-centric community, it's kind of a nice advantage to have Microsoft right there. We actually had Kevin Turner, who's the COO of Microsoft, came and spoke to about 65 of us. And he talked for a few minutes and gave us, for anybody that might have gone to WPC in Houston, he gave us a little shorter version of his speech that he was doing for his keynote. But then he opened up for almost an hour and did Q&A. And if you think about that, if anybody's never seen Kevin Turner present, he's the most down-home, easy to talk to of all of the executives, I think. And he is a very inspiring presenter. You get excited about things. Even if you think that, Microsoft might be wrong in what they're trying to push, you get excited about it nonetheless. But he had made a great comment about this because there were some very upset partners in the audience. And some of the questions were very specific, said that, with the TAP program, with the early access for some partners going away and being replaced by this new kind of evergreen, this ongoing review process. I said, but getting information out of Microsoft just got more difficult. The speed of release of these technologies make it very difficult for us to go and test our solutions. Speaking from a vendor that has developed, we have an Office 365 versions of our tools. Every time there's an update, we get no warning and our technologies break. We hear about it because our customers instantly call us and what's going on with us. And we're finding it difficult. This is something that there's actually a coalition, if you know the names of the companies, where AvePoint, Accelar, Metalogix, Metavis, ShareGate, Quest, now part of Dell, all six of us, and there were a couple smaller ones, together went and did a letter and approached Microsoft and basically said, you have to provide us with more insight into what's coming. At the very least, give us release notes so we know what changed, so we know what to test, so we can respond very quickly. But going back to Kevin Turner, what he said about it, he says, we're not doing this intentionally. We know that things are changing so rapidly, we're focusing on moving fast, and we'll course correct and fix these problems as we learn ourselves what that new cadence will look like. So it's all new for Microsoft around this. And why, how this ties in to all of this is that, you know, social is become, it's come to the forefront of what our end users are asking for, what our customers and partners are asking for, and it's certainly the way that, that people are working. You've heard about consumerization of IT and the whole bring your own device. Like, both of those things are driving behavior that's impacting IT. Did anybody, show of hands, anybody confused by Microsoft's kind of the repositioning as a devices and services company? Was that confusing to anybody? So that's another thing that Kevin Turner brought up and talked about, but it didn't really click for me until another IAMCP meeting. We had a gentleman named Josh Waldo. He's a senior director with the Cloud Partner Strategy Group within Worldwide Partner Group. He came and shared a presentation. And Michael, I'll send you a copy of the, he's got two PDFs, his presentation, as well as an IDC report that he referred to, which talks about the cloud. I'm actually gonna share some of his slides in my next presentation. But he talked about it. He said, Microsoft has recognized that what's happening is that the where the decisions are being made to go with social are coming from consumers, and increasingly the budgets are moving out of the capital expenditures and the operational expenditures. We've all heard this, right? That what's happening is that less and less it's an IT person signing the checks for these products. It's the business side, it's the marketing department that are signing these checks and being driven largely by how consumers are using this. That is what Microsoft is adjusting to. Now, my interpretation of all this, and I had some great conversations with Josh and his team, was actually invited over to meet with the EPG team to talk about like my experiences as a partner, was that they're not giving up on the enterprise. They're not going to just stop making on-premises software because that's where the majority of revenue is coming from for the company. They're recognizing, however, that the tide of change in how people are using these technologies and tools and where the money is coming from is from the front of the business. And so that's why you see this change. Anyway, fascinating. Hopefully that wasn't, you know, too much on the business side for all of you, but we do see changes that are coming across the board. So just kind of high level here. You know, doesn't matter where the data is. You want access to it wherever it's coming from. You want to be able to pick your own tools. This is the whole app model. There might be two people, two managers, given a task to go do something with the same set of data, but they may approach the problem two different ways. One of them may be very data-driven that says, well, this subset of data, we're going to go in, we're going to use Power View, we're going to slice and dice the data and show it this way. The other one may say, well, I'm going to go pull down an app that visually spreads it out and does a heat map over a geographic map of this area. Same data, used two different ways, presented in two different ways. It's the idea that, you know, tell me what needs to be done, not how to do my job. Let me go pull the tools and do what I need to do. It's the reason why if you look at your phone, why my Windows phone, the layout that I have and the tools I have will be very different than, you know, Michael's. Than anybody else. I'll arrange it the way that I need to do it with the tools that I find useful. The bring your own device, you know, increasingly being able to move across whatever device that you have. Like, I've gotten in passionate arguments with people who are just amazed that I'm not using a tablet. I own an iPad, I own a Surface. Both of them sit unused at home. My kids don't even use them, because my kids are on their phones. I have a laptop with a touchscreen. I don't need a tablet. This can do 10 times the functionality that, I'm sorry, my Surface Pro can do. It's more powerful than a Surface Pro. Why would I downgrade to go to have that, what's, you know, only, maybe it is 2 pounds lighter. It doesn't matter. I need to have the functionality and the fact that I have four USB connections here. It's like it's almost like a religious discussion with somebody. They're so passionate about that. And I'm like, it works fine for me. But you also have solutions that are being developed for the business users, as I said, instead of IT. They really are being positioned towards my background. So I was a technical project manager for Pacific Bell back in the 90s. I was responsible. At the time, it was the largest or second largest phone company in the U.S. And they got gobbled up by a bunch of acquisitions. But I was responsible for all the front-end applications into the consumer data warehouse. So tools like Business Objects, Cognos, SAS, all of the online analytical processing, all of those kind of reporting tools in that. And so almost everything that we did in my organization, in IT marketing, it was a IT operations organization, was deliver solutions for these power users, these IT users. Where now, almost everything is directly for the consumer. And then you also have social that's happening. And this is actually where I wanted to show you this one other example of how social as a layer. So, in the mid-90s, when we'd go and buy two different technologies that our customers would say, we must have, we need to have this. I spent weeks, months trying to get these different systems and data sources to integrate, to work together, to talk to each other. And now it's less important. Social has become this integration layer for a lot of enterprise applications. And I'll show you just this, like how I use this, just as an example. I might go to, let's see, let's go and like open up my blog. But let's say that I'm in like one specific site, and I see some information that I think is fantastic. This is where this Yammer extension, this is just a great way to visualize how this integration happens. So I go in and I click on the Yammer tab, and it goes right into the Metalogic site, so my home environment, and it will bookmark, add the link eventually to the Yammer site, and then I can have a whole threaded discussion and right there get connected with the rest of my team and have a conversation in real time or, online, offline, so an asynchronous conversation. Wow, that's taken a long time. And I'm direct connect here. But what's powerful about this, it'll eventually show up here. What's powerful about this is that what I find is that I'll go in through those Twitter feeds looking at all this news that's coming in, and sometimes I'll find maybe news that came out a day earlier or 2 days earlier that I missed, but I found in my Twitter feed, click on the link over to that article, and I'll see that tab blinking. I'll see some activity there. And I'll go in. Wow, don't know what's going on. Try closing and opening it again. So it's the, turning it on and off again. Well, eventually you have to believe me, something actually happens there. But what I'll see is that I'll go into this article, and when I click on the Yammer tab, I'll find that it's already been bookmarked in our site. There's already this long conversation between product and engineering folks around that topic, and then I can go and join that conversation. So it notifies me that there's already conversation that's been going on, and then I can see that, add into that. Or I can start it, notify people like, hey, you need to look at this. And this works for internal system, external system. So I'll go into a team site. So this is how I'm using SharePoint and Yammer. It's not an integration per se, it's because of the browser, but that I can go in and have a conversation in Yammer about content sites and subsites within SharePoint through this tool, which never opened, and now I'm moving on. Anyway, we'll come back in an hour, see if it opened. So that social layer. So if you think about this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this too, but the way that communication works inside of SharePoint, you follow the person, multiple people follow her, And as she posts content, everybody gets notified of that. So everybody's familiar with this newsfeed activity. It's the same in, you know, your SharePoint social activities. It can be the same, you know, similar to following activities in Yammer. Be aware of these threads. It's like Facebook. It's like any other social platform. These are standard experiences, user experiences that we all expect now out of our platforms. So that data then is, you know, written up to the cloud. Everybody reads from that, and that's what it, you know, it looks like. So you're in there, you know, having that threaded conversation. You know, won't get into this. Everything that you can kind of follow and track using the microfeed capability that works the same with the community template. So here's an example, because I don't have any I can show you the way that we use it, but. You have the community tabs. You have the ability to go in there and refine how that looks and how that experience is. Here's another for those that are not familiar with the Share the Point. This is a portal that's managed by Debbie Ireland, who's an MVP down in New Zealand. She runs the SharePoint conferences in Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, and Hong Kong. And so there's this Share the Point portal, which is just the community template using a lot of the out-of-the-box functionality. There's very little customization that's here, where they'll go and drive on these various topics. It's something that I monitor just to see if I'm traveling to Europe. I like to go and see, well, how are this same topic that I that's coming up again and again as I visit customers in Germany and Spain and the UK. Are they the same issues what people are talking about over in Asia Pacific? There's different community settings that you can do. If you're familiar with the topic of gamification and trying to modify the social experience to drive certain behaviors and reward people for the right kinds of behaviors, Yammer we took a look at. There's a lot of out-of-the-box capability, of course, in Yammer to go in there and look at like the leaderboards and other things. There's no integration of taxonomy yet between Yammer and SharePoint. That's one of the biggest gaps today between the two platforms, is if information architecture is critical to you. So how people are using social today for innovation management, so tracking, sharing information, finding an expert, sharing content, having those ongoing discussions, using it as a knowledge base, that ad hoc collaboration, and it's great when you have external, you know, partners. You have that anywhere access that you just need to have connectivity, and you've got all the rich media that you can share across that. What you have to remember, though, when you're thinking about these solutions, depending on what your requirements are, you know, it's about the people, the process, and technology. Has anybody been through like the Yammer training, any of the certifications yet? Okay, a couple folks. So have you been just through the end user, or have you been through the next one?
First of the certified power user.
Okay.
First level, first step.
Yeah. Are you going to do the others? Are you going to?
I hope so, yes.
Okay.
Next week.
Well, it's one of the things that, I was familiar with some of the training programs that Yammer had prior to the acquisition. And if anybody saw a lot of the training there, it was one of the questions that came out at the partner conference was, whether Microsoft would start look at and weighting the certifications into the overall like partner status. Like, are we required to have at least two people that are community manager certified if we want to be viewed in our portals and collaboration gold, you know, to keep that gold status? And they said, not yet, but over time, yes, just like any other certification. Yep.
But at the moment, the certification are more focus on using Yammer.
Correct.
And not for developing, but my last information is that in the next couple of weeks we will come the certified developer for Yammer.
Yeah. And that's the one I'm least familiar with. Yeah. Like what's involved around that. But you're exactly right. What I was going to say is like when looking at how Yammer's certification program prior to the acquisition, it was predominantly about how to use it and then how to be successful with using it. It was about team culture, about being successful, about helping people to adopt the technology and then encourage, like helping you with ideas for keeping it up and going and being consistent over time. So it's very much about the people, process, and technology. I was at this event called E2, the Enterprise, it used to be called Enterprise 2.0 Conference, and they've just changed it to E2, which, you know, that doesn't say much about, you know, what the conference is about. But anyway, at this event, it was held in Boston. So Adam Pisoni, who's the, what's his title now? Is he like GM of Yammer? Anyway, co-founder of Yammer, was the closing keynote. And he was sitting on stage with his Gartner analyst and having a conversation. And the Gartner analyst had kind of a list, was going through. He says, I see that people are asking, like, when are you going to add this integration? And what are you going to do about this feature? Everything was feature related. And Adam had a fantastic response to it. He said, look, we're going to add more features. We're going to do a lot more things. Some of the things are people, like, people expect us to do. Other things may go in a completely different direction that are unexpected. Because the way that their culture of development is, like, they use the platform themselves. They listen, they talk across the board, and it's what they learn about being connected which helps change the direction, the path that they go. And so they learn a lot about themselves. So a lot of what, and you hear that, that, and it may sound kind of like this fluffy, non-committal, like, that's not a real answer. What are you going to do? We all want specifics. We want to know the roadmap. But what he was saying was that we don't know entirely where we're going to go with this, because the more that we do, it opens up other possibilities which will may take us in different directions. This is one of the reasons, I think, one of the most fundamental things that have happened, and I've heard this from Microsoft executives, from, you know, mid-level people within the organization, from the product team, from people, you know, I've got friends, and my brother-in-law is a senior director in server and tools. So I've been talking to him about how has the Yammer acquisition helped you. He helps deliver features within MOM, if you're familiar with that side of the house. And he's been there for 12 years. He says, it is changing the way that we're building and delivering. It is fundamental changes across the company, that they are talking more together. It's much more connected to where, I don't want to get too much, you know, down this path, but it, you know, if you understand the way that Microsoft has traditionally developed software, it was something that I had a lot of problems with, where you have an individual who owns these three features and they have their blinders on to everything that doesn't involve their three features. And you, as an internal employee, sometimes you're going and trying to argue with people to get them to understand that, yes, but this one, you're focused on this, but it might be the wrong thing. There might be this other thing that you're not, you know, taking consideration. But they've had, it was part of the plan of record, they were given their directions, their commitments were built around that, they're going in that direction, which is why we had this 3-year development cycle. With all of that speeding up, like, you can't do that. You can't work that way. Anyway, sorry, I get a little bit long-winded on that topic, but there is a dramatic change happening inside Microsoft. And I go back to what Kevin Turner said, that he says, look, we're erring on the side of moving fast rather than communication with partners and sometimes even with customers around that. But they know that they need to improve those things as they adjust to the new speed at which they're going. What I say to everyone is that as you see features that are being developed, if you are on-premises SharePoint and you see features that are being developed for Office 365 or Yammer that you know that your customers or your company need for on-prem, you must tell Microsoft. You must provide feedback because they are listening and they need to hear that. They've already, just this year, made adjustments to some of their messaging, and feature decisions are made largely, they are trying to change the direction of the ship, but they do listen, they take that input, and they go make adjustments based on that input. Social architecture, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Actually, this one's less interesting. That's just generically, that one's out there. There is a great article by Addis Hugo called Beyond Social, which I highly recommend if you want to understand from a development standpoint, and you know, a little more insight into the data, where it's being captured. While there are not out-of-the-box solutions for governance of the social activities, all of the content is there. All of the social activities in SharePoint are being captured in content databases, all of which you can go build against, have access to. So there are some vendors, my company is one of them, where we're starting to go in and build functionality, which is going in and looking at these things. This is the kind of the wrap up to the governance. The answer is there isn't any. You need to be aware of this, but that the partner ecosystem is trying to answer some of these questions, some of these issues. Yeah, well, there's APIs that are available as well. You can go and write against this. There's the Yammer roadmap, and I know that there's more news that just came out. News that just came out in the last day. If anybody didn't see it, it talked about how there's deeper integration with email. Your ability to participate in conversations with Yammer threads directly through email, which is cool. They didn't answer was my fundamental complaint about Yammer, which is, you know, when somebody, if you go into a network where you're participating and somebody has added a comment, you're forced to go in and look at the comment to stop following it. I can't just see I'm participating in 10 of these comments, remove, 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 remove right there. There's no checkbox capability. The other thing is that they're talking about there's document level conversations. So there's the integration with Office 365 in Yammer is improving. There is limited integration features between SharePoint on-prem and Yammer. I'm one of those people that believes that there is a let me say first that the Microsoft, one of the things that came out of this last partner conference, Microsoft finally recognized what Forrester and Gartner had been saying for the last year. They recognize what's really happening with Office 365 and what's happening with SharePoint on-prem. One, that of the existing SharePoint customer base, 35% of SharePoint customers today will never move to the cloud, ever. 50% of those customers, and this is the 65,000 to 70,000 customers worldwide, of the 130 million end users, 50% in the next 3 to 5 years will be hybrid, and only 15% will be pure cloud. So that means that on-premises, you know, software installs will be here for a long time. Now, what they also said is that the majority of growth in SharePoint activity, they believe that they're going to, the next 5 years, double the number of customers and users in the using SharePoint to 260 million. The majority of that will be through Office 365. So most definitely where the growth, where the potential is and into the long tail, you're looking at me for this way, the long tail this way, will be through Office 365 and SharePoint Online. That the majority of enterprises that have concerned, and if you look at globally, if you think of 35% of organizations that will never move into the cloud, their SharePoint environments in the cloud, that's a global look. The percentage will be lower in the U.S. and higher outside of the U.S. So more adoption of cloud in the U.S. But Microsoft also realizes that of Office 365 customers today, 90% of them are in Office 365 for Exchange. 6% are there for Link, only 4% are there for SharePoint. So they've recognized that the messaging was a bit too generic and broad, and that the realization after now a year of being on, you know, hardcore on this message of the cloud and social and all these things, of what's actually happening, what people are adopting. And so Microsoft is adjusting on their messaging around that. What's good about that is that I came out of WPC with Microsoft saying, we're going to double the number of end users in the next 5 years. You know, all the things that they said that they were going to go do, I believed all of them because they started at the point of what I knew was true, which was what adoption really looked like of the platforms. But there are, I'll once again say that for organizations that will not or cannot use Yammer because of concerns around the cloud, if you see features that are being released, please contact your Microsoft rep. There's multiple channels to do that. They are listening, and let them know what your company, what your customers want to see, because we need, they need that feedback directly back. So governance in a social world, things that you need to think about. This is kind of my wrap up here. So what happens with permissions? May not be an issue for you, depending on how you're using this, but again, depending on your industry, depending on your requirements, how secure your environments are, what your security concerns are around the systems that your end users are on, how are you managing permissions? Somebody leaves the company, if they have permissions across multiple tools, how are you managing that? How are you managing taxonomy? There is a huge gap in between the taxonomy that's used around collaboration happening in SharePoint and that that is happening within Yammer and the social tools. So just be aware of that. That is a, and I look at it for some organizations that are doing, that want the social features, and they said, but we have a very structured taxonomy that need to be part of that. I said, well, then your answer is use the social features within SharePoint rather than Yammer until that capability is there. What are the storage concerns? What are those costs? Especially if you're going to increasingly use, put content out in Yammer or in Office 365. What are your auditing and compliance requirements? Are you in an industry where you have very specific requirements? You need to think about this as you're rolling out these social solutions. What are your reporting options? What data is available? Reporting in Yammer, very limited. Reporting in Office 365, very limited. You don't have the ability like you do with SharePoint on-prem of going in at a very granular level and building out reporting solutions. It's getting better in Office 365. There are some apps that are available in Yammer, but it if again, if you have defined requirements around these things, you need to think about what that looks like and how you're going to manage those things. Is there real-time monitoring of those things? What's missing is that, well, what if somebody starts talking about a restricted topic, a phrase or some piece of intellectual property, and you could have a bunch of information that is shared with the wrong people in the Yammer conversation before somebody is aware of it and goes and deletes those, removes those, talks to the people who started the conversation. And one of the things, you know that there is, if you have a paid version of Yammer, there's been an integration since 2010 with Yammer and SharePoint where you can actually push content from SharePoint over to Yammer. Is anybody using that? Unfortunately, if you are in a highly secure, permissions-controlled area, you can push content with that integration into a broad open, the entire, your entire company can see this content. There's not control there. So there's no linkage of yet of that secure area in SharePoint with like a secure private group within Yammer. And then can you enforce those governance policies? A lot of governance is that there's multiple steps. I want to, if this happens, then take this step. If we see this violation, let us know and take these steps. It's manual, you know, across these various tools. So just be aware of that. And the one thing I was going to kind of leave this on. So one of the things Exceller was doing is we were building a tool called Viewpoint, which looked at a federated view of social activity across SharePoint and Yammer. And so we released kind of this beta of this tool that allows you to go in there and also does things like we're tracking influence and what influence means, but looking at your Yammer, looking at your SharePoint activity, actually go in there. It's not enough to say that somebody is active within social, because what we found is that I'll pick on, because she's not here, and I say this lovingly, because I've joked with her about it, but she was very high in influence through the out-of-the-box tools, looking at the leaderboards. Because what she was doing is anybody would post content or comment and she would like it. like. And that's all she did was like things. She rarely commented, or when she did comment, it was like, great job. You know, the attaboys, the big thumbs up. There's no actual value in that, and I called her on it, you know. But one of the things that we looked at is being able to refine that kind of thing, to actually see like what kinds of activities, like here's posts, so content, original thought, replying to the conversation, the liking. So Ryan does a lot of liking. Whether they're mentioned or not, whether the content is shared. So started to really go in and examine where is influence really happening within an organization. And so it was a great idea. Then we were experimenting with more visuals around that to look at individuals to see where the primary, secondary, tertiary connections are within the network. With the acquisition, all of this got split in half. Anything SharePoint related went to Metalogix. Anything Yammer related went to the new company called Vudu Labs. So Vudu is coming out. They're launching later this fall. They lost a big chunk of the technology for this, and so they're going and building anew something else. They're going to have, they'll have limited capability, a lot of the analytics into SharePoint, but they're actually going a different direction. They're going to do Yammer. They're going to work with Chatter, Box, Jive, Salesforce, all of those other companies, where Metalogix will be trying to recreate something similar to this, but only for SharePoint, Yammer, the Microsoft stack. But there are, and I bring this up, there are other companies. Another company that you might be familiar with is Good Data, that are also doing some very robust analytics. They work within the whole big data space. So there's somebody else to look at. Moving forward, some key questions to ask about social. You need to constantly make sure your end users are asking for the social capabilities. Make sure that they're aligning, you know, their requests with your business goals. Are they relevant to what your end users should be doing? They might be asking for something that's Facebook-like. What are they actually doing with that? I think one of the biggest things that, you know, people say is like, I don't want to see all these conversations around what people had for breakfast and pictures from their weekend. Like, what are we actually doing? And what we see within Yammer is that that does happen once in a while, and people ignore it. It goes away. It's fluff, and then real work is done there. You need to think about, from a measurement standpoint and a governance standpoint, what are your short-term and long-term goals for these activities? I look at social as a way to get people more engaged, more active. If you have SharePoint that nobody is using, or 20% of your organization, if adding social features, training them on it, and talking about the proper way to use it, or by using Yammer and SharePoint and Yammer side by side, if helping them do that gets them so that that number goes from 20% to 50% to 70% of people that are actively using it for those activities, that should be what your goals are. But be very specific of what you're trying to do. Because you don't know if you've been successful with something or not if you're not measuring it. And the last thing, you know, what does that success look like? Is it that, like a horrible data point is a number of people access to system, like access to network. Being able to show that in any given month, 100% of our end users went in to SharePoint, that's useless, because there might be a report that tells them any individual that's not logged into SharePoint, send me a report of those users. I know that there's some apps within Yammer that show you that, like inactive users. So if people know that they're being measured by that, they may just go check in once for the month, and then they show up in the right column. What you really want to know, that's not the right measure of success, but how active are people? Are people, who are the people that are, if you go back to that, what I like about this diagram is who are the people that are adding content the least or not at all? Who are not commenting, engaging in conversations? So having that kind of insight is a better measurement of what success is of social. So just to wrap up, I would say that, again, there's a great, this great Beyond Social presentation by Addis. It's out on SlideShare. There's a great, of course, TechNet has some fantastic content, really in-depth about what's new in social computing, that they keep it up to date. And then I highly recommend this white paper by Chris Beckett. But I will also send, and I'll talk about in the next presentation around social, the data that Josh Wallow shared with IDC in his presentation as well, which I think provides some great insight into how Microsoft is thinking about the cloud, and social is a big piece of their cloud story. Any questions before we take a break here? I know it's been me talking a lot. But, well, thank you very much. And so we.
Das war der SharePoint-Podcast. Das auditive Update für den engagierten SharePoint-Anwender. Feedback und Kommentare bitte auf sharepointpodcast.de.
Auf was? Ach, auf Wiedersehen, ja.